This morning I bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us this morning in worship. Today we gather once again for another celebration of the Reformation, but this time it is the 500th celebration of this historic event in church history. The message theme this morning says, Christ alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. Christ alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. This is what we call the three solas in Latin, because these three words come from these words in Latin that says, sola Christos, sola fides, and sola Christola. And you're talking about Christ alone, faith alone, and Scripture alone. All of this began in the early 16th century, as we've seen on the little clip that was shown this morning, when the so-called church at the time had, to a very large extent, industrialized God's entire plan to save mankind from the perils of sin and death. And so what they were doing was letting people buy salvation or buy grace or buy forgiveness or even buy the offices that were opened up for people to fill out, like the priest or the bishop and those kind of things. So the entire church had changed from what God initially wanted the church to be like. The blood that Jesus shed became an unrecognized sacrifice as the church of the 16th century became involved in the selling of indulgences. People had to work in order to be set free from their sins. Our Lord hung up on the cross, dying, and with every last breath that was left in him, cried out, "It is finished." But they said, "No, it's not finished yet." And they said we had to pay for our sins. So it was when Dr. Luther, who made several trips to the priest in a day, trying to get his sins wiped or washed away, and didn't feel like anything was happening. And sometimes he would go to the priest and confess his sins, and on his way back, right in the middle of his journey back home, he realized that he didn't say something to the priest that he had to go back and say. He'd turn around, go back to the priest, and confess that one, and go back home, and then something else comes on his mind. And this was an ongoing thing for Martin Luther. And so he felt always that he was living in guilt, and that there's something had to be done more than what was being done. And so he started reading the Bible. It was until one day while he was reading through the scripture and reading chapter 1 of Romans, chapter verse 17, which read in these words in Romans 1:17, "For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it was written, the righteous will live by faith." The righteous will live by faith. And once he's seen these words in the scripture, it changed everything for him. From this point on, Dr. Luther abandoned the doctrine of importation for the doctrine of imputation. And that is taking on the righteousness of God and giving God what we had, our own righteousness. And it was what Jesus took when he went on that cross and died for the sin of man. This new revealing began his quest for a reformed church. And so it was in Wittenberg, Germany, on October 31st, 1517, when he daringly nailed on the doors of the Roman Catholic Church that 95 theses explaining this doctrine. It doctrinally opposed the idea of the selling of indulgences. And this was a treason, matter of fact, during those days. And after many strides and persecutions and martyrs, the Lutheran Church stands today on a doctrine that was not innovated by man, but rather indoctrinated directly out of the Bible. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Scripture alone. Now, this is the truth. The truth that Jesus speaks of in the gospel text this morning, where he says in John 8, 31 and 32, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And from this text, we realize that it is only the truth that comes from the Word of God that sets mankind free, that psychology and humanistic ideas do not have the answer that the Word of God brings to us. It is only the Word of God that satisfies the desires of mankind. And so today, we want to look at these three solas, as we call it, that comes in our theme for today's message. And the first one is grace alone. The truth is that it is only through grace that man can receive the gift of eternal life, through grace alone. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So from this text, we gather that God's grace is free and unmerited. It is free and unmerited. We live in a world where everything we own, we have to earn. And we carry this mindset as human that we need to earn everything to own it. And so it is so ingrained into us to the point where we deny the truth that comes from the Word of God. We deny the truth of the grace of God. Grace is unmerited. There's no amount of work that anyone can do to obtain eternal life. It's what the Bible is telling us. So God, in his grace, came. It's like the same unmerited favor it took God in creating us. It was God who did it. It was his grace that brought us into existence as humans. God sat one day and said, let us make man in our own image and likeness. And just as we had no part in that creation, so it is when it comes to the whole issue of salvation. Man has no part to play with it. It was all God's plan. And it happens through his grace. Only the grace of God, folks, that brings us eternal life. So grace alone, no decision on our part, no works on our part. Every response from us towards God is a response that was prompted by God alone through his grace. So before we respond to grace, God first responded to us. He came down to our levels when we could not get up to him. And with a strong arm, he lifted us up and showed us what real living is. So God brought his grace to us. The second one is faith alone. In Romans 10, 17, the Bible tells us, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So what we learn from this text is that faith is not a self-generated attribute. Faith is not something that we generate inside ourselves by ourselves. It comes through hearing the words of God. So if anyone tells you that I am a man of faith or I am a woman of faith, in order to become a man of faith or a woman of faith, one has to have the word of God abiding inside him or her. And this is the reason why the Lutheran Church takes the word of God and sets it above everything else that we do. Because this is so important. Faith is very important in our walk with the Lord. Faith alone, because it is the only thing we need to live spiritually. It is the only thing that man needs to live spiritually. We cannot live spiritually using anything else other than the faith that comes from the Word of God. So physical life is possible only if the body has blood. And the Bible says that in Leviticus 17, 11, that the life of all creature is found in the blood. So the body needs blood. The body cannot survive without blood. And so it is with the spiritual life that we have. The spiritual life needs faith. The spiritual life cannot survive without faith. And how does faith come? It comes by hearing the word of God. We cannot get it any other way. A lot of folks will take the Bibles and put it up on the shelf in the homes and decorate their homes with the Bibles. Whereas the Bible should be ticking and placed inside of us, we take the Bible and we put it up on the shelf. You see, and the reason God gave us that, because just as we strive and thrive in this life to survive physically, God wants us to thrive and strive to survive spiritually. And to survive spiritually, we need to feed our spirit. And this is where the word comes in. And as we do that, faith is developed in us. Spiritual life is possible only if the spirit has faith. And that is seen in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says, but we live by faith, this text says. We live by faith. The church lives by faith, folks. We don't live by any other suggestions or ideas out there. We live by faith. By faith alone, for there are no other alternative to a true and vibrant life in the spirit. It is in this same faith into which we confirm Colin, Jacob, Stephen, and Mason this morning. This morning, they are about to make a confession and profession of their faith as they stand before you. And what this tells us is that they now understand the basic doctrine of Christianity and are able to stand on their own and exercise their faith in practice. And the church does this so that we can bring up young men and women so that they will grow up in the stature of the fullness of their grace. Because by doing so, the church has a hope for the future. Because if the church is going to continue to exist in the future to come, it's only going to happen when these young men and young women in our congregation grow up into the stature of God and hold laymen offices or become pastors in the church and carry on the work of the church. So God is depending on them just as much as he is depending on us. And this is why this is a very important thing we are doing here. This is not, I'll say it, you are not getting confirmed so that you go home and put the confirmation certificate on your wall and wait till Jesus comes to show it to him that you are a child of God. That's not what it is. That's a wrong idea. What this is you're confirming before everyone here and to God and to yourself that you are ready to stand in your faith. And what that means is standing up for God in season and out of season and carrying the cross of Christ as far as you can get it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we give God praise and honor for you this morning. The last point this morning is scripture alone. In Psalm 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven." Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. Because the word of God is the only thing that we know to be eternally established, the word of God. Luther said, "A simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it." And the reason he made this statement is because even the pope during his time did not know the word of God. They were using humanistic ideas and secularism and all these things to run the church. It was all political. And so the Bible was not really being used or taught to the people. And he is saying here in this phrase that a simple layman armed with scripture is greater than the mightiest pope without it. And so to let you know how powerful the word of God is, the word of God is the foundation of the church. And this is why all of our confessions, the Lutheran confessions, are subject to the word of God. Because the word of God is our foundation. Jesus Christ, in one of his disposition, he talked about how the wise man built his house on the rock and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, the house that was built on the sand was swept away. And this is exactly what happened when we throw God's word aside and decide to live our lives the way we figure it out. God is saying that if we want to be eternally established, the only way we can be eternally established is to establish ourselves on the word, which is eternally established. The Bible tells us here, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It means nothing can shake the word of God. Nothing is able to move the word of God. And for those of us who believe in the word, or those of us who have placed our hope in eternity, we know that when we died from this earth, someday we're going to spend eternity in a better place. And for those of you in here under the authority of my voice this morning, who have many questions about Christianity, and you have many questions about the word of God, I want to tell you this morning that this word is the only word that has established us for all eternity. And this is the word that is going to establish you. The only thing God requires of you is to put your faith and hope in it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest theme, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. God's word is what would do this. And I pray this morning that as we have received this word from God, celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, that this word will sink deep on our hearts and bring our faith and establish our faith in God. And we will know always that God will never bring us this far and leave us. God will never teach us to swim and let us drown. God will not build his home in you and move away. He will never lift you up and let you down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say,